Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office.
Start with some
Thank
theology.
You for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We're going to go to some science, and we're going to end back with some theology. So, because we want to address is something important, and let me set it up with this. There we go. On the screen there, you see this weird little island here. This is in Lake Chippewa, Wisconsin. And Lake Chippewa, Wisconsin was created in 1923. And how they created that was by flooding a swamp. And so as they flooded this swamp, the bottom of the lake bed then actually began to break loose these large peat bogs, and they would float to the surface. Now, some of these peat bogs, they were so fertile, think of peat moss, that they would grow vegetation on them. And the largest of these is what's called 40-acre bog. And it's actually a floating island, complete with, over the years, not only has grass and vegetation, but trees and wildlife. In fact, so much wildlife has habitated this island, that it is actually protected by law. Now, it's kind of weird to think about an island that's not moored to anything, but this island floats around the lake. Now, Lake Chippewa, there is one bridge that connects the east side of the lake to the west side of the lake. And when the wind is just right, the trees on 40-acre bog act like sails, and they push the island all the way over to the point where they impede travel from the east side to the west side. So during that time, when this happens, all of the residents get their boats, which you see here, and they literally push the island back so it is in an area that's not impeding the traffic between the two sides of the lake. And so these locals make this makeshift armada to just stop the disruption of transit there. Now, I want you to know something. So I want you to think about this during our message, our conversation today, because islands are not supposed to move, now are they? I mean, think about, you know, you're trying to give directions for someone to come visit you. You're on an island and it keeps changing. You know, it just goes around. And just like islands are supposed to be firmly fastened, the church should be firmly fastened upon the bedrock of God's word. And what we've seen throughout history and what we are experiencing an acute episode right now in our culture is not a whole lot unlike 40-acre bog. We live in a culture of half-truths. And I'm going to remind you again that half-truths in the church are deceptive and they are damaging. They're doctrinally dangerous. And just like 40-acre bog hinders traffic from the east side of the lake to the west side of the lake, the church, unmoored, untethered to God's word, becomes a hindrance in its effectiveness from individuals going from this kingdom to God's kingdom. We call this series Adrift. We have started this prior to Advent, and we took a time out during the Christmas season to remember the birth of Christ and to focus on that. And this series is based on Dr. Michael Kruger's book, The Ten Commandments of Progressive Christianity. And so we're looking at several statements. Our theological foundation here comes from Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to start with the Bible here. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, let's all read this together, those of us who are in the room. And if you're at home, just make everyone look at you real weird. Let's just read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now, is the dog or cat looking at you funny at home? If it is, you did it right. Okay. So I love this verse because what it's telling us is that we need to hold on. This word, lest we drift away, has the connotation of letting something slip. It's as if you're holding on to a rope and you stop paying attention and it slips away. And what we're finding is what is slipping away? The message of salvation. How we are saved. The fact that we are born, we have a sin issue inside of our life, and that God has come and he's brought the message of salvation. It was declared by the Lord. We've heard it, and he showed signs and wonders and miracles to attest to this. So today's topic is one that is crucially important in 2024. You're going to see it becoming more and more important, especially in an election year, as we're going to go through. And this is not about politics. It's about truth. Today, we're going to talk about truth. And now Jesus talked an awful lot about truth. In fact, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus over 75 times spoke about truth. And so we see that Jesus made truth a priority, and he equated truth with being set free. So truth and freedom go hand in hand. And he also equated truth with his word. Look at John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Let's all read this together. Ready? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will do what, church family? The truth will set you free. So we have, again, this connection with his word, being his disciples, knowing the truth, and the truth doing what, church family? Setting us free. He goes on to John 17, 17. Jesus, this is actually the Lord's Prayer. When I say the Lord's Prayer, John 17, Jesus is praying to God for the church. So this is Jesus, the Lord, praying. And part of this prayer, he's talking to the Father. Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So today we are in this culture of half-truths. And in 2016, the Oxford Word of the Year. In other words, what Oxford said was the most influential word was this: post-truth. They were saying that we live in a post-truth society. Now, what did they mean? They meant a time in which objective or universal or absolute facts are less influential than appeals to emotion. Does that not sound like the culture we're in today? You can see and observe an actual fact, a reality, and yet we turn our eyes to that simply because of an emotional appeal. It is based on so many social moves and social agendas that we see throughout our culture today. In our culture today, it's because truth is viewed through few, and this is where we're going to get into a little bit of philosophy. Truth is viewed through a lens of what's called postmodernism. Now, forgive me for using terms that we may not all be clear about, so let me just give you just a nutshell what I'm talking about. Postmodernism is a philosophy, or if you don't know what a philosophy is, it's a worldview. Think of a lens in which you look at the world and culture around us that says there are no absolute truths. There are no universal truths, okay? And that everything is individual or is subjective. It's what I feel. Okay, so when I use the word subjective truth, it means what I think and what I feel about it. And when I use the word objective truth, it means a universal truth that endures. Now we see this subjective truth says that no one experience can claim truth over any other. Everyone finds their own truth. If you find your truth in you know, chasing whatever, that's fine. That's your way. If I find it in whatever I choose, that's my way. But there is no absolute right or wrong. There is no underlying truth that holds the whole world together. You see this philosophy, this worldview in entertainment and in media. You see it in underlying themes of TV shows and so many things in our education system, a whole lot. Old trusted institutions are viewed as evil, as untrustworthy, while individual, subjective truth claims are glorified. And sadly, this is done many times by turning a blind eye to actual realities. A recent example of this that we're seeing play out right now and is just this. People are justifying or ignoring factual things that happened in Israel by terrorists to women and children. They're saying, well, that's not a bad thing. We can't call that bad because blank. We should all agree that there are some absolute moral truths that hold us together. This, my friend, is an island with no foundation. It is blowing around the lake. And here, I believe, and I'm seeing, and we've seen over the last couple of decades, this problematic claim has infected the church and is trying to influence us all. Where we view the Bible, we view God's word through a lens instead of letting God's word be the lens in which we see the rest of the world. Because what did Jesus say was truth? God's word. Okay? This is what progressive Christianity does. It views God's truth through the lens of our experience. And, you know, have you ever looked through something, a lens? It distorts. I have glasses that distort things so they look a certain way to my brain and I can see them. You know, if you look through, you know, when you get like a water or something, and you look through, have you ever done bow fishing or something like that? When you can't shoot where it is because where you think it is not really where it is. Okay, we used to have chase our fish in the aquarium. If you look down, you'd kind of go, and the fish wouldn't be. You'd think your hand was here, but it was really there, because you're looking through a lens, and the lens distorts. Looking at God's word through the lens of my feelings distorts it. I hope you can see that today. So here's the problematic belief. This is number five in the, I gotta take my breath, sorry. This is number five in the Ten Commandments of progressive Christianity. And it's a half truth. It says inviting questions is more valuable than supplying answers. Inviting questions. Now, this is a half-truth. Is it good to question? Absolutely. But is it better to question than to supply the answer? No, because here's the thing. The culture today says there are no answers. You make your own answer. You have your truth and I have my truth. And I admit we can have differing perspectives, but ultimately there are universal truths. There are eternal underlying truths. There are some absolutes. So I want to point out some things in our culture today that are trying to infect the church that will be problematic and cause us to be like 40-acre bog and to go adrift. Because if we embrace these beliefs, we're going to become, just like 40-acre bog hindered the ability to go from the east to the west side, we will be hindered in the ability for people through the church to go from this kingdom to God's kingdom. So point number one. Truth is not created by our belief. You know, I can sit here all day long and say, I believe I'm a Big Mac. Doesn't make me a Big Mac, okay? I can say, I believe that I am fill in the blank, whatever. I can say and I can feel and I can passionately feel something, but that does not make it so. And we see example after example in our culture today that says, because I believe something, it is therefore true. Because I'm passionate about something, it's therefore truth. In other words, what we see today is people truly have been deceived to believe that they create their own truth. It doesn't matter what observable facts say. You see, you have belief here and you have reality here. Truth is not belief. Reality is not necessarily belief, but true, what happens when your belief matches reality, that is truth. Like this, a man was at home watching TV, and all of a sudden, a news person broke onto the TV station and said, "Hey, in our local freeway, people need to be careful because there's a car going the wrong direction." And the husband knew that his wife was coming home and probably going to take that route. And so he called his wife. He said, "Honey, you got to be so careful. There's a car that's going the wrong direction on the freeway." And she said, "One car? They're all going the wrong direction." Yeah. Wah, wah. You see, we laugh and we joke. And yeah, that's a silly thing. But welcome to the world today. Welcome to the world today. Here's the problem with subjective or individual relative truth. You have your truth, I have mine, and I understand live and let live, but is it currently producing a better society? I would say to you, no. I mean, the Bible tells the Old Testament, two can't walk together unless they're agreed. We're watching an implosion of our culture. You know, I can look outside and I can say, I believe it's raining. Now, that's my belief. It may be raining, it may not. If I walk outside and it's raining, my belief is true. What if there was a sprinkler on? I had a fact, I had an observation, but I didn't quite know what it was until I walked out. I got some here, thank you. Thanks. He's telling me to refuel. So there we go. So we see examples of that. If your belief aligns with reality, it is truth. A belief in and of itself is not truth. This brings us, that's philosophy. This brings us to, you know, people talk about religion. And I'm going to say something that is going to be controversial. The Bible is not true just because you believe it. At that point, because the thought is then, is the Muslim Quran or Hadith true just because someone believes it? Is the Book of Mormon true because a Mormon believes it? Is the Hindu Vedas true just because a Hindu believes it? Is the Buddhist Tripitaka true just because someone believes it? Your belief does not bestow truth on something. And the dangerous thing in today's world, the presiding thought, is that there are all kinds of truths. You just decide which one is yours. Now, we could, and if you'd like to, I'd be happy to have some Bible studies together or have some cultural studies together to do a deep dive into the claims and the comparisons of each one of these major religions' books, their main holy writings, to validate their belief. But just the fact that you believe in something does not bestow truth. What if there is a truth that transcends? What if there is a actual right way? Sadly, again, many people believe that their belief bestows truth upon it. Thus, their beliefs are nearly always connected with how they feel. I know people who've gone from religion to religion to religion to religion, and they move until they don't feel something. Okay? Belief does not magically bestow truth. It's what makes me happy right now. And seeing people like that is just like 40-acre bog. It's going from place to place wherever the wind blows. What I'm passionate about today is today's truth. Well, then what if something tomorrow is different? So what we've seen in our culture, there has been a transformation over the past several decades with this spreading of postmodernism. Societies have been transformed in front of our eyes. And now sound judgment is not used to even call out evil and wickedness because of this ideology, because one person's wickedness might be another's righteousness. And what right does any one person have to say that they are right and another is wrong? Do you feel the tension? That's the culture. This worldview is held by the majority of people today, which brings me to my second point. I only got 3 points. The second point, the first point was truth is not created by our belief. The second point is truth is not created by the majority. I always say this, and you've heard me say this example before. The Nazi movement was a populist movement. Does anybody in this room today believe that the Nazi movement was a morally right, a true movement? No. There are tremendous episodes of absolute evil. Well, how can you call evil? I mean, goodness gracious, this philosophy has infected parenting. No longer do people parent by morality, they parent by psychology. It is the predominant child raising thought is to raise by psychology and to not use words like good and bad and right and wrong. Okay? That is a transformation that's happened in our culture, and which kind of puts us at odds with scripture that says there actually are moral truths. Okay, so truth is not created by the majority. Now here's something sad. By a 3-to-1 margin now, 64% to 22%, American adults believe that truth is subjective. It is not absolute. In other words, I individually make up my truth. It can be, what can be true for me might not be truth for you. Here's the troubling part of this research. The younger the group that is surveyed, the less that they believe in objective truths. 84%. 84% of people 25 and younger do not believe that there is an absolute moral truth. You've heard of the, here's how people respond to this. Okay, maybe you have heard of the elephant and the blind men, or the elephant in the dark room. And one by one, these men would go in and they would find a part of the elephant, and then they'd come out and they'd try to define what they saw. And the one who found the leg would say, oh, well, it's a great tree. You know, this is what it is. One who found the ear was like, oh, it's a great sail. Okay. This object is a great sail. Oh, the one that found the tusk, oh, it's like a great warring spear. One who found the tail was like, oh, it's a rope. And so they would say all of them were right, and they all had their own little thing. But actually, they weren't all right. They were all wrong. They all had a piece, but they didn't understand. So what they'd say is that it's impossible for any one of us, that we need to bring all of our little pieces together, and then we together will find out what the truth. Here's the problem. Beliefs have consequences. So look, if I believe that there will not be an admission fee to an event, I don't bring my wallet. What happens when I get to the door? I say, well, look, I believed, so therefore I should get in. That's not how it works. Your actions go along with your beliefs, but your beliefs may not be true. Now, just because the majority says there's no objective truth does not make it so. In fact, when somebody says that there is definitely no objective truth, guess what? They just made an objective truth claim. So it's illogical to hold that belief. Now we're talking psychology, okay? Or not psychology, now we're talking philosophy. If I say that I don't believe in gravity, will I float away? I don't believe in gravity. I'm still here. Why? Because there are some underlying objective truths. Why does belief matter? Why does belief matter? If I live my life believing that my bank account has $1 million, even though it only has $75, pretty soon there's going to be consequences. Hey, gang, what happens when you spend more money than you have? We don't know. That's the government's job to figure out, right? That was just joking. Okay. So to our elephant analogy, many people say that that's the world's religions. No one truth, no one religion, just science can tell us, or just individual experience can tell us there. And science is a thing for so many decades that has been the proprietor of truth. You observe something and you prove it, therefore it is truth. Now science observes and proves the properties of the natural world, not the spiritual world. At best, it can only theorize as to the creation of the earth, and it changes greatly from age to age. Are eggs good or bad? I don't know. It changes every week, right? Yeah. The claim that science is the only way to find truth is not a scientific claim. It's a philosophical claim that cannot be proven by science. So here's the point of today's message, because some of you are like, we're totally confused. We are just like, okay, what are you talking about? Here's the big point. You ready? So take a breath, grab some coffee. Let's reset. Because here's where I'm going to land the plane. The point of this message today is in the last two decades, science has gotten the stinky boot to psychology in terms of the arbitrator of cultural and moral truth. Now, an individual's how I feel about something are deemed to have truth in spite of what is observable or provable. In other words, we as a culture have thrown out objective truth. You with me? In fact, Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is what, gang? The way of death. In other words, if we're not careful, there are consequences to not understanding truth. Truth is not created by the majority. It's not created by belief, but rejecting truth has consequences, and some of those consequences are eternal. If all of our experience is subjective and partial, I know people, this is what happens when I talk this way to people. They say, how dare you, Baldy? How dare you try to push your truth upon me? You have no right to do it. The audacity in saying, Mr. Ten Eyck, that you have the truth. Here's the big deal. I'm not interested in telling you my truth. I don't have my truth. It's not about my truth. It's about God's truth. Okay? Well, you're just saying what you think God's truth is. Just like somebody in China believes that their truth is that, and somebody in India believes that, and somebody in Antarctica believes in the penguins, you know, whatever. You're just another blind man with your own part of the elephant. Nope. I'm not trying to tell you my truth claim. I'm trying to share with you what Jesus's truth claim was, okay? Because Jesus's perspective was not just the perspective of a man. Jesus's perspective, Jesus was God incarnate. And so Jesus is not in the room groping, finding a part of the elephant. Jesus sees the whole elephant because he created it. The claim that I'm bringing to you today is not my claim, it's Christ's claim. Now, look at Jesus's word, and we're gonna wrap up our message with this verse. Look at Jesus's word in a conversation that he has in one of the six trials that he had in 24 hours, three civil, three religious. He had this, it was culminating with Pilate, and notice Jesus's reference to his perspective and the truth. Jesus is not just another one of those blind men with the elephant or those men in the dark room with the elephant, okay? It has nothing to do with what I'm thinking. This is objective truth. This is Jesus who claimed to be the Son of God, and here's what he said. John 18:33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered, did you say this of your own accord or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Okay? Jesus is not another one looking at the elephant. He's not of this world. Okay? Now, he goes on and says, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you're a king? Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. Ready? For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Now look what happens. So Pilate has this conversation. If Jesus lies to Pilate, he's going to be immediately destroyed. He comes out and says, after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt with him. Six trials. They couldn't find any fault with Jesus. They were trying to do all kinds of crazy things and set him up. okay? Why believe him? Why believe Jesus? Well, he was born of a virgin. He did miracles demonstrating his power and authority over natural law. If somebody walks on water, if someone feeds 5,000 with a few fish and a couple loaves of bread, if someone raises the dead to life, if someone gives sight to the blind, if someone makes the lame walk, wouldn't you think that you'd listen to him? Did they? No. They crucified him. Why? Because they had their truth, just like society and culture today rejects Jesus because we have our truth. I'm not interested in telling you my truth claim. I'm not interested in telling you what I think the elephant is. I'm wanting somebody who does not have the same perspective. I don't want to know another blind man's understanding of the thing. I don't know another person in the dark room groping around trying to say, this is what I feel. This is what I feel. This is what I feel. Your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings do not see in full. Jesus went through these six trials, three religious, three civil, and it was deemed by Pilate that he had no fault. And yet he went to the cross, he died, he was buried for 3 days. And oh yeah, gang, he rose again. He appeared to hundreds of witnesses. He ascended into heaven. He fulfilled hundreds of years of specific prophecies about him being the savior of mankind. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. It's not a secret, and yet people reject the truth. He is the truth. And so my final point today is this. You can know the truth. Truth isn't something that you create. Truth isn't something that's held by the majority. Truth is knowable. You can know the truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is connecting the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he is how we get to the Father. You want to get from the east side to the west side? A floating 40-acre bog might be a hindrance, and the church can't effectively give the message of Jesus Christ if we don't proclaim the truth. Ask questions, but the church has been crippled because we're afraid of offending people. Don't share your truth. Don't share your feeling. Let them know what Jesus said. Contrary to popular belief, doing whatever you want to do does not lead to freedom. Doing whatever you want to do and what you feel like often leads to bondage or a loss of freedom. Not just here and now, but I'm talking about eternity. It's popular to say, I know our culture says, if it feels good, do it. I'm telling you, if that's your life philosophy, you are 40-acre bog. You're being blown around a lake just by whatever wind might be. Is your life like 40-acre bog? Are you being pushed around by whatever the majority wind is blowing there? If you find yourself drifting, I want to ask you this question. What's your relationship with the truth? Has it cut loose and now you're just grasping for meaning? In the deep places of your heart, are you still longing for a truth that transcends the moment? Do you try to distract your hungry spirit by pushing down those voices and then you try to convince yourself with the noise of the crowd? The crowd sometimes we embrace as being so loud as to avoid the still small voice of conviction. Truth is more than just relative. Truth is relational. There are eternal truths that God has established, and that's why he sent Jesus. Charlotte, you can come up. Truth is knowable through Jesus. John 8:32, you said, we can know the truth and the truth will set us free. Look, science is great. I told you before, I was raised in a household of a scientist, but science can only reveal the physical properties of the world that God created, not eternal spiritual properties. Life is more than just random temporary pleasure, than just our feelings. You can know the truth. That's why Jesus came to reveal truth. Questions are great, but they lead to answers, and God has the answer to eternity. His name is Jesus. Amen? Stand to your feet and let's pray together.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.